I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460 and FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Root, and I have on the phone with me State Senator Carla Bigham for Senate District 54. Senator Bigham, it's good to have you back.
Thank you for having me on, Mike.
You're very welcome. I understand that it's been kind of a busy week after the spring break week off last week, and you were saying as we were getting ready to go for the show that it's now go time in the Senate. So let's start with just coming out of the week, coming out of that week off. How did the week start back up for you?
Well, it's been very busy. We came back Tuesday and really kind of the bills were unveiled, if you will. They were posted. And what I mean by that is all the bills that throughout the last session that have been maybe laid over for possible inclusion in a bill, or basically any discussions about the budget with the administration. And then, of course, the legislature has their discretion because we actually passed the budget. The governor only proposes it. Governor obviously can't pass anything on his own. So all of that gets thrown into a bill, and we go through the week of learning what's in it through nonpartisan staff, and then we kind of have this opportunity to mark it up, as they say. And so we offer amendments and have very, very good discussion. I think I was in committee no less than 7 hours a day for the last for better half of every day of this week. So add that up. That's a lot when, you're looking at deliberating a specific topic like I was, which is the judiciary, committee. And that committee encompasses all of the public safety aspects. So, you know, you think about, Department of Public Safety, corrections, then you have the courts. And so all of that in and itself fall under that umbrella in Judiciary's Committee.
And one of the big things in the Judiciary Committee has to do with a recent ruling by the Minnesota State Supreme Court, and the result of that decision sparked a lot of action in the legislature.
Yeah.
Go over that a little bit for us.
Sure. So in a unanimous decision, the court said that voluntary intoxication is not considered rape
mm-hmm.
if you were assaulted. And well, we just know that that isn't accurate. And all the court does is they interpret the law, and it doesn't say that mentally incapacitated equals intoxication. And that's where they came down on that. So they reversed the conviction, they were interpreting the statute that way. Well, that comes back to us then to fix it. The previous legislators, I think it was maybe a year or two ago, we created a task force that really looked at victims and survivors of sexual assault. So we had this task force, and they were looking at all these changes we should have. We incorporated that, and when I mean the Democrats offered the amendment to on the committee. So that's myself, Senator Latt, Senator Pappas, offered the amendment to fix not only the loophole that the Supreme Court identified,
right,
but also the task force recommendations. That is what the House Democrats did. They said we ought to just we ought to make the meaningful change, the big change. And so, you know, some of this is technical and clearing up, cleaning up old statutory language. But the big deal is that it makes the intoxication level of mentally incapacitated. So this will close that loophole. And we worked with many stakeholders across the spectrum of advocates, mm-hmm. and then also county attorneys and public defenders, so that we had a real good broad scope of dealing with this issue, which is very important. And I'm very glad that the amendment we offered was accepted, and that we were able to clarify this so that we're not having this issue, but also in future, but we're not leaving repeat offenders, repeat predators on the street. That isn't a civilized society, and that's not justice.
Okay.
And so,
right.
And so it's important that we really address this session, and I'm glad that is what we were able to do over the week. And then there is another amendment I offered, which stems from a bill that Senator Duckworth brought forward to the committee, which had such an impact on me with the testimony from the survivors. But right now, the Minnesota National Guard does not have a local jurisdiction to report a sexual assault that occurs while you're in the National Guard.
Okay.
So, you know, you have, if you look at the armed forces, you have JAG, right?
Right.
The National Guard doesn't have anything like that. There was just a big disparity in how cases were handled and brought forward. Plus, you envision, you know, the military environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the rank and the authority and all that. So what the bill does and what my amendment did was have the BCA be the one that investigates any allegations.
Within the National Guard, yeah, okay.
Within the National Guard, yep.
Sure.
And so there is some place victims can go, and so to report that and get justice, and these survivors just told, you know, incredible stories about their experiences. And so these two provisions that were brought forward, I think, really are just incredible, and they're the stories that the survivors bring, they just they're obviously very brave and emotional, and to the committee, and to have to tell the story again, I'm so thankful for their efforts and everything they did to have progress on these two issues, because it definitely was the right thing to do, and it was very long overdue.
And I'm sure that these victims, it shows an incredible, for them to be able to come forth and tell their stories, puts them in an incredibly vulnerable place from your own perspective, because I went through this, now I have to kind of relive it to make it right for someone else.
Correct.
The statutory language from which the Supreme Court decision was based, how long has that been on the books, do you know?
Oh, I mean, a long time. I mean, essentially, a lower court judge ruled that the victim was deemed mentally incapacitated because they were voluntarily intoxicated. And it was the Supreme Court that ruled no, because that's not what the statute says. And so that's what we fixed. In that side of it. So I don't know how long that's been on the books. But
I just kind of find it interesting that a provision like that has been kind of sitting in the code for however long it has, and it takes something like this, and I'm not casting aspersions on the Supreme Court. They did what they were supposed to do, and they, you know, they had this statute that they based their opinion from, and now, you know, we see, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not that's not the way it should be. So you guys also acted correctly in response to that action.
Yeah, and Mike, it's so much more than that, too. I mean, thank God that we had, you know, this working group that, you know, full of stakeholders, you know, and really subject matter experts, survivors that were able to use their traumatic experience to help others and clean up legislation and create legislation that will bring justice. I mean, some of the things that were in that working group that we now adopted in that amendment that we offered was about definitions of coercion and then significant relationship because of that power dynamic. You know, obviously the voluntarily intoxicated issue was fixed. You know, we created a crime called dealing with sexual extortion. We heard testimony about landlords that will use sexual extortion for not filing an eviction, not allowing or allowing people to be late with rent,
right,
and then victimized a tenant. I mean, it was unbelievable, and so we created that, and we also created a felony level penetration, criminal sexual conduct, fifth degree. That used to be a gross misdemeanor, and so I think that it really cleans up what the intent and the consistency of the you know, of the crime in the statute is. And there, you know, some other just clarifying issues in there and just cleaning up old statutes, but you know, one thing that was in there that oddly was amended out, the Republicans struck it out, was we have ancient legislation that criminalizes sodomy and adultery. It's unconstitutional, it's been deemed that, and it's never charged. And so we repealed those statutes, but for some reason that remained in after they successfully amended the repealer of those statutes out. I don't know. But anyway, so it really was a real big, thorough discussion, and just very pleased we were able to get these two provisions across the finish line.
All right. And it does seem like a monumental task, and it's a good thing that those items have been addressed moving forward. But also, as we continue on through the session, we're starting to get what we talked about way earlier was go time. And your committee work is basically done at this point. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we'll be spending a lot of time on the Senate floor now. So the two committees that don't have a deadline are the PAC committee and the bonding committee.
Okay.
They don't have you know, they're not subject to the deadlines that all the other committees are. So that they'll remain open, and other than that, we will be dealing with bills that are on our general orders, which are bills that passed out of committee and are on the Senate floor for consideration. And then we also will be dealing with finance, the budget bills that come forward. And then, God willing, we go to conference committees instead of having the trifecta of the governor and Senator Gazelka and Speaker Hortman making all the decisions.
Right.
So,
right.
I'm hoping to go to conference committee where the rank and file, like myself and Representative Juergens, have a say in these and have the opportunity to work with the conferees on the conference committee on provisions. But speaking of the tax committee, I'm really hopeful in the coming weeks here that, and obviously I'll let your listeners know if that's the case, I put in a bill in the tax committee to have a tax deduction, one-time tax deduction for spillage for breweries. Like Spiral Brewery here in Hastings.
Sure.
And then also some of their investment that they had to do for, like, heaters for the outdoor patio and some of the furniture and different things like that, do a one-time tax deduction off of that. And I think that's an excellent use for one-time money, which is really what the surplus that we have is. We have a $1.6 billion surplus, but all but like $200-300 million of that is one-time money.
Right.
And you can't fund ongoing programs with one-time money.
As we've said before,
Yeah, and all the federal money, the $2.6 billion of the federal money is all one-time. So we can't use that for ongoing either. So I've gotten traction on a few of my bills because members on both sides of the aisle are like, that's really good use of one-time money. So hopefully they survive the whole process.
That would be good. What other kind of significant legislation are you seeing coming out of the floor session?
Well, I think a lot of these are technical bills, but I'm hoping my doxing of law enforcement addresses, making that a misdemeanor, that is sitting on the floor for consideration. I'm hoping to get a vote on that. So I really think that these next few weeks, it's going to be some long days up at the Capitol, but I'm actually going to go in person to participate. It's just called me old school, but it's just where I'm most comfortable is being up there in the Senate chamber and not at home in front of a computer watching. It's what I'm going to do. And as long as I'm healthy and my colleagues are healthy, we'll continue to do that. So
in general terms, there's nothing wrong with being old school. We are just about out of time, Senator Bigham. And at this point, as always, I'd like to give you the opportunity to provide your contact information should your constituents have questions or concerns.
Sure. The easiest way to get a hold of me is by phone, and that's 651-297-8060. And you can always send me an email at sen, which is abbreviation for senator, .carla, which is with a K, .bigham, at senate.mn.
Senator Bigham, I would like to thank you again for taking some time out of your day to give us an update on the things going on this week in the session at the Senate. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. This is Community In-Depth, and you're listening to KDWA Radio, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
In this ever-changing world, always remember that KDWA has been serving you since 1963, bringing you daily news, sports, weather, obituaries, and community events that you need to know. KDWA, AM 1460 and 97.7 FM, and online at kdwa.com. KDWA is your only daily media in the area, and we're here for you.
For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities by providing life-saving help to our veterans and neighbors during our nation's toughest times. We are the American Legion, Veterans Strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.